WEOL.com, or find Lorain County Emergency Management Agency Situational Awareness on Facebook, provided by Lorain County Office of Emergency Management and Homeland Security and local communities.
Access more than 25,000 films, including award-winning documentaries, rare and hard-to-find titles, film festival favorites, indie and classic films, and more through the Canopy Video Collection, available free in the e-library at lorainpubliclibrary.org.
Bowles, eye on weather on AM 930. Overnight, starry. Low near 60. Sunshine Tuesday with a high of 85.
It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes shy of 4 o'clock. Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas, you have us until 6 today. An All-Star Monday edition. Tomorrow, we will be down at Progressive Field for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Can't wait for that. Going to be a lot of fun. Time now to welcome in the first guest of today's show on our local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry. And if you stop by, I promise you'll see why. Visit Jim, Bob, and the entire gang down at Vandermark Jewelers. They are on Broad Street, right across from the hospital. Again, stop by and you'll see why Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in the jewelry business. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joins us right now. Well, you can find him on the beat as far as the cops and courts go, and of course, on the local beat as well. Dave's a man that wears many, many hats. How are you today, my friend?
Staying busy, Bull. But otherwise doing all right. Not too bad a day outside.
Actually, a perfect day outside. These are like the kinds of summers we hear about in San Diego, right? Mid-70s. And I mean, everything's hunky-dory, right? And everything's fantastic. You get nice occasional breeze. These are the kinds of days that you dream about when you're suffering through 5 degrees in the wintertime.
Or the 95 we got just a week ago or whatever it was. Yeah,
true.
For sure.
Can't walk around outside because it's way too doggone hot. Or it rains so much that you can't do anything. And that actually ties in with the very first topic of our interview today. You know, you had the opportunity to do a story on the availability of corn this year. And, you know, we briefly talked about this maybe a month ago because the rain was so heavy about a month back that farmers were stating their case that this could be extraordinarily tough. There are certain crops that are just going to be really, really difficult to grow on time. And it seems like the corn is at some point going to be made available, but it's just going to be a few weeks late.
And that's part of the, you know, that's the old, as the old saying goes, you know, knee high by the 4th of July is what farmers like to see when it comes to corn, right? Well, not all the farmers out there who are growing corn got all their planting done because it was so wet, because it was so cold so late. But the rainfall especially was what we were being told. And the thought went around the office, hey, we ought to find out, if people are wanting to have cookouts this weekend, this past weekend, is there going to be sweet corn available? You know, that's a popular item. So made some calls around and found out that not a lot of the farm stands were even going to be open until this coming weekend or maybe early next week. Basically, everybody that, that we were able to talk to and just sort of anecdotally and searching around a little bit basically said, yeah, we're not going to open until mid-July because we're not going to have corn available until mid-July. It's a big, big ticket item, and people are out looking for that, and they want their summer vegetables. And, fortunately, Fenix grows a lot of its tomatoes, I guess, under a, under a greenhouse, if you will, So Pat out there said he was going to have plenty of that, plenty of that ready to go. But just a week after everybody, after everybody expected, or just longer than expected. A lot of farmers have been taking to social media to talk about what they call hashtag NoPlant19, and they just haven't been able to plant as much as they wanted to. The Ohio Farm Bureau was saying that 50% to 60% of the soybeans and corn that were planted last year might get planted this year. So it's been a hard year for your farmers out there. And some have had better than others. I've seen others who were saying, yeah, I had a great harvest this year. I didn't think I was going to, but it just worked harder and put more in the ground, you know, as early as possible. And I'm going to do okay. But I think that's sort of one end of the spectrum, and the other end, you know, sort of about the middle is maybe get about half what they got last year. So it's going to be a rough one for farmers. So we're going to keep an eye on it and see what happens.
Not a lot of bumper, I'm sure, for most of the farmers out there. But it's so, obviously, this is the Corn Belt. We're kind of living in it from that aspect. But was that kind of the hardest hit area? Do you know? I mean, I thought everybody was getting rain. I don't know if that's necessarily true all around the country.
You know, it seemed to be, especially like you were saying, the Belt, Matt. Yeah. That's exactly right. I saw a lot of farmers in Indiana and Pennsylvania, just kind of, again, anecdotally and on, you know, and on social media and in news reports that I was looking through to, you know, to pick out some more questions and have some more thoughts on that and share a little bit more with our readers. And Indiana, Pennsylvania, Ohio, other places too, you know, it's been real difficult. They've been having, in Maryland, D.C., they had some flooding the other day, and people were driving on, flooded highways. Out there, so they're still getting this, you know, this torrential rain. And in other places, it's been tough in Georgia. It's been tough, you know, in Texas. Basically, I mean, anywhere with land. I think this was the rainiest year on record, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. You know, they keep statistics on all this stuff, and it was just the rainiest year that they had on record. If it rains too much, like there's a perfect amount of rain and then there's just way too much where your fields, you know, that water's all going, you know, the way of gravity, and it's going downhill and it's hitting those low fields. And if you have higher fields or you're up on some hills, you might be a little bit better, but still.
Now, I know that the article you wrote specifically dealt with corn. I know it's been talked about soybeans, things like that as well. So a lot of different crops have been affected. Has corn really kind of been affected the most because of all this?
I imagine, you know, corn has other uses too.
Right.
And that's part of the thing is that corn is a primary feed for livestock. It's also, you can sell your crop to these ethanol plants, and they make, basically, vegetable alcohol, you know, out of it. So those are two other places that you might start to see, you know, biodiesel fuel, you know, prices being up, some livestock, you know, prices getting affected, by the lack of a corn crop. I mean, you might have to find other things to feed the animals. And then that leads to, well, now, you know, we have to dive into some of these other things that we're looking to feed and boost what we give the animals. So it's across the board. It kind of affects that. Also, some of the trade issues with China, especially in soybeans. China buys an awful lot of American soybeans because they eat a lot more soy than we do. I've seen reports on that, especially in some of the national papers, about a lot of soybean farmers real concerned about, you know, about the issues of, you know, the trade with China. So there's some of that. And if we don't have as much to trade, you know, that might compound the issue.
Interesting. And I know this was something that, again, we talked about a few weeks back, and you knew at some point it was going to get pretty ugly. And I know you talked about the knee high by 4th of July very clearly. The corn's nowhere near that high in most places. It just hasn't grown the way we expect it to grow, or it has grown in years past. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on the local beat. We'll transition now into, boy, a story that's gotten pretty interesting pretty fast. What's the latest on this series of hiccups in the merger between the Lorain County Board of Mental Health and, of course, the Lorain County Addis Board?
Well, the Board of Mental Health the other day had a session where they voted to save some money up to hire some outside counsel. Normally, the Board of Mental Health would be represented in legal matters by the Lorain County Prosecutor's Office. Well, in the case of the Board of Mental Health actually suing for a temporary restraining order to stop this merger. And as a little bit of background, Lorain County is the last of Ohio's 88 counties to not have a merged board of mental health and addiction recovery services. So we had the Addis Board and you had the Board of Mental Health. They were two separate entities. Well, commissioners some months ago said, we'd like to combine those two because we're the last one. State law says we can do this. State law also lays out how it's to be done. And there are members of the Board of Mental Health and the Addis Board who were concerned that this is not being done properly. And we wrote several stories where we talked to both commissioners and representatives of commissioners and representatives of both boards. It led to the resignation of Kathleen Kern, who was the executive director of the board of the mental health board. So she resigned over the chaos. She called it chaotic the way that this merger was happening. So the Board of Mental Health basically decided, you know, we're going to hire this attorney to go represent us, because normally it would be the prosecutor's office. Prosecutor's office is also representing the commissioners. There's a hearing this week in Common Police Court, and we'll be there and finding out, you know, just exactly what the judge, you know, what Judge Cook's going to say about this after he hears all the evidence from both sides. And so it's just members of the board that I spoke with the other night, and also members of the Addis board who were present for the mental health board's vote, basically said, look, we agree that the merger is a good idea. We just want the process followed. We just want the way it's laid out in the Ohio Revised Code. This is the way we want it done. We want it done the way the Ohio legislature said it's supposed to be done. We don't want any, no outside interference, no politics to be involved in it. That's not to say that there is. I mean, there's some people who are making that allegation, that the commissioners have turned that into a political move. The commissioners and County Administrator Jim Cordes have denied this, several times. So it's just members of these boards want the process followed. But the Board of Mental Health said, look, we'll spend up to $30,000 to make sure that this process is done appropriately. And they got in just under the wire. And the judge said, as of last Monday, those boards are going to cease to exist. That was a concern that the boards might not have standing to actually bring this after they were supposed to have been merged as a legal issue. So they got that done, and we'll see what Judge Cook does with it.
Interesting stuff. And it seems like resolution could come within the next couple of weeks, right? That's the idea. We might know something over the next two to four weeks.
Yeah, we may know more tomorrow, depending on how the matters go in front of the judge. It'll be a bit longer. I know Judge Cook's a very deliberate judge. He knows his law. I've sat in his courtroom for quite some time over the past couple of weeks, and he will be thoughtful, and he spells out his reasonings behind his judgments pretty clearly when he releases those judgments. So we should know more tomorrow. It may be the end of the week, maybe early next week, that we might know a little bit more. So again, we'll see how it goes.
Good deal. Well, we're going to table some of the other topics that we were planning on discussing, because we've come to our favorite part of the week when we get to have some fun with some scanner stories. Boy, I saw some interesting ones fly by on Twitter over the last 6 days, but I'm sure there were quite a few that stood out to you. Were there any in particular that stood out?
Well, one from my buddy Mark Kovac down in Columbus, who I've worked with, been a colleague of mine for the better part of almost 2 decades. Over here on the scanner, context free, they keep stopping every 20 yards and doing a dance. Now, whether that's whether that was somebody in a 4th of July parade and somebody for some reason called the police to report it, I don't know. Whether it was somebody who was just partying their way down the street, again, not quite sure. Had another friend of mine who heard a call over the scanner for an illicit rooster. a free range bird that was running around, and as part of a rescue operation to save some birds from somebody who might have been hoarding them. So glad the birds got saved, but I don't know if the rooster itself is illegal, but but maybe it was making its calls at all hours and annoying the neighbors.
I'm surprised we haven't heard more of that. The cock-a-doodle-doos in the wee morning hours have a tendency to rub people the wrong way.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
See those? You see chickens and roosters around a little more than I feel the other barnyard animals. Kind of out of place. There's a flock that lives down the road from my house. I'll see them out every once in a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody owns them. I mean, they're somebody's. I think they do something with grass, but yeah, they've got a little hen house in the back. But every once in a while, I'll see them out pecking. Don't wake me up, though. I've been lucky. Either it's a lazy rooster or he's not very loud.
Maybe the vocal cords aren't what they used
to be, right?
Could
maybe
be, wore out a little bit. All right. Well, Dave, as always, we appreciate the time. And next week, we'll load up on some more scanner stories as well, because sometimes it takes a couple days for these 4th of July scanner stories to emerge. And, boy, I'm sure there were some really good ones. 4th of July sometimes has a tendency of bringing out both the best and the worst. But, as always, we know you're a busy man. We always appreciate you stopping by.
Hey, good to be here, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, Dave, thank you again. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram on our local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Stop by and you'll see why. Vandermark Jewelers is a trusted name in jewelry. Break time here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We've